The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way with his disciples, they began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite any children that want to go to children's worship to come forward now. Before beginning, I just want to say thank you so much over the past 10 weeks for your love and support and prayers as our family grew by one. I said, it's the first time I've been in this pulpit not being pregnant, which is I have more room. So thank you so much for that time, and we are so excited to be back here at St. John's. Usually my family is at 927, so if you ever want to catch a glimpse of the little one, he's there. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how hard is it for you to find rest? Who's really good at that? Can anybody really admit that? In the middle of a busy week, I find myself looking forward to the weekends, right? Or in the middle of a school week, you always look forward to the weekend. But guess what? On the weekend, there's still homework to be done. There's still laundry to be done and bills to be paid. And I still personally have to chase after two little kids. So by the end of the weekend, I almost need a weekend to recover from that. And on Monday, I'm always looking forward to Friday yet again, because I know that the next weekend I'm going to catch up on some of the rest that's needed. But like magic, laundry appears, homework still needs to be done, more bills have come in the mail, the yard needs to be mowed, a grocery store run is 2 days too late already, and my two-year-old and newborn are still too and new and full of energy and life. The idea of a day of rest sounds like a fabulous notion, but I just don't know when it actually is going to happen. But wasn't it God who calls us to rest? Wasn't it God who created a day every single week for us to be and not to do? In Genesis, we hear about the story of creation. Because after God had labored and worked to make the world just right, after saying six different times, "It is good," God stepped back and looked at what God had done, and God said, "Whew, that is so very good, I need a break." And God blessed that day. He called it holy and set it apart. And today in our first reading, we heard from the book of Deuteronomy, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, God put Sabbath and rest high on that list. Number three, to be exact. Observe the Sabbath day, keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you can labor and do whatever you want, but on the seventh day, that is for the Lord your God. You shall not work, you or anyone else. Don't work. Because remember, you were once enslaved and the Lord your God brought you out of slavery. So I command you to take that day of rest. We learn that we are called to rest not only because God rested on the seventh day, but because of God's redemptive, that liberating and saving nature of God, we are called to praise God as well. So with that as our backdrop, we enter into our gospel text for the day. And in the Gospel of Mark, we run across two stories about the Sabbath. And from the very first verse of our gospel this morning, we see that there is an immediate conflict. In that first verse, it says, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain." Then the Pharisees enter the picture, almost like they were following Jesus, trying to figure out who this Jesus character still was, watching his actions, following along. And the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" You see, there were these rules and these regulations about what could and couldn't be done on the Sabbath. And to the religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, Jesus and his disciples were in clear violation of those laws. But to Jesus, the way that he interpreted those laws about the Sabbath, he and his disciples weren't doing anything wrong, because Jesus saw the laws for how God intended them, not as how the world had interpreted them. So Jesus rephrases the Pharisees' question from, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" to, "What is lawful when someone is hungry on the Sabbath?" What is lawful when someone is hungry on the Sabbath? During the bombing raids of World War II, there were thousands of children who were orphaned and left to starve. The fortunate ones were grouped together and placed in a refugee camp where they received food and good care. But the problem is that many of these children could still not sleep through the night. They worried and worried about, would tomorrow I have a place to live still? Am I going to have food? Are the bombings going to happen here as well? And so in the middle of this, in the middle of them not getting that good sleep, somebody thought up the idea to say, "Let's give them a piece of bread to sleep with." Sounds really simple, sounds a little weird, but let's see if this works out. And an amazing, miraculous thing started to happen. These children started to once again sleep through the night. And as they began to express what was happening, it sounded something like, holding on to that piece of bread, I know and remember that today I ate, and tomorrow I will eat again. What is lawful when someone is hungry? What brings peace in the midst of our fear and our scarcity? Eating bread to sustain life is seen as a teachable moment for us today in our gospel, because Jesus knows the law. He knows the laws that God gave us, and he knows that they were gifts to us, not this strict set of rules and regulations. God's laws taught us how to love God and how to love our neighbors. Now, if you've heard me say this once, you've probably heard me say it 100 times, the Ten Commandments are seen as just that. They are gifts that are given to us. Because the first 3 commandments are about loving God, and the next 7 commandments are about loving our neighbor. They are not these strict set of rules. Instead, they are a gift on how we can live in communion with God and in community with one another. It's really a beautiful thing. And then when the Pharisees at a different place ask Jesus, "What is the most important commandment?" Jesus answers them in the simple way. Well, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So what is lawful when someone is hungry on the Sabbath? Jesus answers, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath." The gifts of God are gifts for everyone. For God created the Sabbath, and for us to get stuck in the strictness of the law, we forget and we limit the gift that God gave us. The reason for the Sabbath always was and always will be to promote life and to praise God, our Creator and Redeemer. The Pharisees knew this. They just got focused on the letter of the law and fear instead of the spirit in which Jesus applies it. And so with that, we're whisked off into our next story where Jesus takes this stance just one step further with the man with the withered hand. Jesus heals this man with the withered hand, and surprise, surprise, he does it on the Sabbath, but he does it in the synagogue as well. So of course, the Pharisees watch him to see whether he would cure this man. And of course, Jesus heals this man. And Jesus questions them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill it?" Simply put, that same question, what is lawful when someone is suffering on the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath really a gift to us if we are suffering and in pain? Or is the Sabbath that piece of bread that we hold on to at night as we sleep to remind us of God's love, of God's goodness, of God's mercy, and of God's compassion? The Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us to rest, to renew, to be healed, to be whole once again, to look around the world that God created for good and make it that way again. When no one is hungry, where no one is unloved, turned away, or outcast, when justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, where no child is left behind, where we are all one, and not just the we that sits in this room, but the big we outside this room as well. When the world looks like that, when the world looks like God, how God created this world to be, true Sabbath is possible. And there's no better time to hear this message than on graduation Sunday. Because graduates, you are at this important point in your life. Many of you will go off to live a life outside the walls of your parents' house for the first time. And it's exhilarating. And at the same time, it can be a little nerve-wracking, maybe a little scary. But there is a sense of independence, but also a sense of the reality that you are in charge of your own future. No one will be making sure that you are going to classes or making your bed or making sure you shower on a regular basis. These are things that are now yours to have. And with that, and there's so much being thrown at you, it's sometimes hard to stay grounded in your faith. But remember that God always gives you bread to sleep with at night. God gives this gift to you, graduates, so that you do not have to live in fear, but instead you can live into God's promise and God's future for you. And God also gives you bread to sleep with so that you can give that bread away to others who need it. You will encounter many people in your life that will need that bread and that love just as much as you need it in those times. Don't be afraid to give it away, because God always has more. Many of the orphans that were in that concentration camps survived only because other prisoners had given their own last piece of bread. Viktor Frankl writes this: "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offered sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of his freedoms, the choice of one's attitude in any given circumstance, to choose one's own way." When you sleep with the bread that God provides you, you are empowered to choose your own way under any single circumstance. And this life that is set before you, that you are right on the brink of, the future that you see, and the dreams that God has for your life, to live out that love, to receive God's love, and to give it back out to the world that so desperately needs it. Because graduates, we need more people in this world that know the height and the depth and the width of God's love. And we need more people who take that love and give it right back out to the world that is in desperate need of it. Because true rest comes only when our brothers and sisters are fed and clothed and loved and freed and all of those things. So I have faith, and God has faith, that you can make that happen. But not just you, everybody else in the room as well. Because that is our charge for today. God gives us bread so that we can go out and give that bread to others. So let's do it. Amen.